Happy Baby Friday on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 Fan, Justin and Ailish. That's it, folks. That's all she wrote. The Toronto Raptors season comes to an end in play-in park, more like play-out park. See you next year.
What do you think was the official number of those who rolled through the gates at play-in park last night? It was a decent little crowd, but...
They said it was pretty full.
Really?
Whatever that
means.
Didn't
look that full.
You could Photoshop anything nowadays.
Angles, baby.
I will say, I thought it would look like a pretty good atmosphere out there. There's some diehard fans that wanted to be there to see the season extended to play Kyle Lowry in the Heat, but
most of the time, though, those fans, they go all the way down that street. I don't think that was the case yesterday.
You got the Raptors eliminated and the Jays with a walk-off win, basically within 5 minutes of each other.
Mm.
I got my split screen going on, and the emotions are extremely different on both sides. And then I thought about the poor folk merging into Union Station at the same time to head home on the GO train and the TTC. You've got...
Driving home, too.
Oh, but you've got fans that just watched an exhilarating Blue Jays comeback, walk-off win with the dome open for the earliest ever in franchise history. And then you've got suffering Raptors fans that watched one of the worst, heartbreaking, crushing defeats at the hands of DeMar DeRozan and his daughter, DeAr DeRozan, all merging into single-file line to get on the GO train. I thought that would be a sloppy, sad mix of folks.
Definitely. Yeah, different emotions heading toward the TTC at once. Not that it's like complete euphoria for a Blue Jays win against the Detroit Tigers.
No, I'm sure the vibes are high.
April, but probably they were pretty fired up. And maybe you're a little bit more obnoxious if you're only a Blue Jays fan and the sad Raptors fans are making their ways through the turnstiles as well.
But I wonder your championship route home, because the biggest win last night, Justin claims the trophy for his beer league season.
Mm-hmm.
The Ducks.
The Swinging Ducks got it done. Very exciting.
Please tell us about that.
Ooh, you want to know what the game was like?
What was the score?
4-3 victory.
Oh my gosh, close.
We led the whole game pretty much, but they tied it late, and then we had a dramatic breakaway goal from our leading scorer to win it in under a minute and a half to play,
no way.
I suppose.
Yeah. It wasn't you, eh?
It was not me. No.
Can you imagine? That'd be like the coolest moment if you came on here and
scored it?
You'd be like, yeah, our leading scorer scored the breakaway goal.
Oh, what's his name? The slow play?
Oh, yeah, that's
Justin
me.
Christopher Cuthbert. No. No, it was not me. It was, fortunately, it was not me that got that breakaway, because it probably wouldn't have won it.
Yeah, your Kerfoot hands.
Kerfoot hands got another one last night, though, so it's all right.
Look at you. You're a contributing member of the championship team.
Definitely contributing a member to the championship team. Any night where you can sample a Keswick favorite, Busch Light, out of a fake memorabilia Stanley Cup. It did have some weight to it. They gave us a little cup.
It looked
cup.
Pretty legit on your Instagram.
It was a decent little piece of
did
hardware
you get
that we
to
got.
Keep it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your name's engraved?
It was on the mantle. Apparently they engraved the previous one.
How legit is this league?
It's the second championship in Swinging Ducks history, I think.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Wow, what a journey it's been.
I don't know, like the deservo meter, it was definitely tilted in the direction of the other team.
Was there good sportsmanship afterwards?
Yeah, there were, I don't know, gloves off, handshakes.
You shook hands. Did you pile on the goalie?
Yeah, he was amazing. Our goalie was.
You piled on the goalie.
Wow, we didn't pile. It wasn't a, there weren't, you know,
did
helmets
you leave
being,
your skates? You piled on the goalie.
There was no piling, no.
Justin, you did.
No, there was just a big hug for everybody.
Okay, that's sweet.
I guess we piled on to a certain degree. We didn't like break our legs.
Did you throw your gloves?
No.
Come on.
The gloves did not come off.
So you just respectfully went over.
The Zamboni was on so quickly that we didn't even get a photo on the ice.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Did they play the national anthem?
No.
Ah.
No, those things did
not happen. Fake league.
Fake league.
Congratulations, Justin.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Ailish.
You are better than the Toronto Raptors.
Last night, yes.
Speaking of the Toronto Raptors, folks, we're taking your calls today. We thought, you know what? Scrap the original plans. We want to hear from our loyal listeners and our Raptors fans. 7:30, we're going to open the phone lines just like we've done previously. We want to hear from you. We'll take calls.
A little therapy session, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we got to talk it out a little bit. I think it'll help if people can share their emotions. We can share our emotions. If you know, misery loves company. So this is a miserable time, I think, to be a Toronto Raptors fan. And if we can talk it out a little bit, maybe commiserate, we'll feel a little bit better ourselves in the 7:30 block.
All right, let's do our best to work through it, because there's a lot that went into last night's game. But when you look at it, the first thing I thought of was it was a microcosm of the Toronto Raptors season
now,
wrapped up
that?
Into one game.
Why does it make what made that game specifically a microcosm of the entire season?
Well, let me start with poor shooting. The Raptors were 18 for 36 in free throws, a 50% free throw night.
Mm-hmm.
When you average around 78, you cannot lose a one possession game when you miss 18 free throws. Like, the conversation can stop right there. That's embarrassing.
But the conversation doesn't just stop with a number
poor
or a percentage
night.
Now, does it? You
blow a fourth quarter lead, a game where you led by at least 19 at one point and 12 in the fourth quarter. You had almost like you almost had it in your grasp that I had a level of comfortability that I was worried about, because this team, what do they do all year? Blow fourth quarter leads, and it's like a switch flips off and the other team comes up. They lost the fourth quarter 37-24, double-digit fourth quarter loss, and you watch it all slip away with questions like we've had all season. So there's two reasons why. Unfortunately, to make this storyline even worse, you do it at the hands of a franchise icon across the court and his daughter, who is maybe defensive player of the year after last night's performance.
Move
DR,
over, OG.
DR DeRozan. Maybe, I don't know, single-handedly the reason that the Raptors couldn't hit a free throw shot. And if you haven't heard it yet, we'll play the clip. But you probably heard it. Maybe you didn't know who it was. DeAndre DeRozan, 9-year-old daughter of DeMar DeRozan, was sitting second row behind the net on the seats on the court and screeched extremely loud at every single free throw attempt that the Toronto Raptors made, which was 36 of them, 36 screeches. There's some hilarious graphics online. If you just type in DeAndre DeRozan, you will have a heyday. 36 screams, 14 points force at the free throw line. Player of the game, player of the night. Signer for the Miami Heat game coming up. So you have that. You have moments where you believed in this team, where there was excitement, where there was trust, where there was star players clicking, and then the opposite. That's why it's a microcosm of this season. There were so many things that went through it. And you look at it all and you say, kind of fitting, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I think just maybe in two simple words in terms of microcosm, just a letdown. I guess that's three words. But this team just continued to let you down over and over and over and over and over again over the course of the regular season. And where there was a little hope and a glimmer and like, wow, they're playing quite well, there's another big, massive, giant, humongous letdown on the other, the next time you turn the corner. This team, I guess if we're, again, the entire season, fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Fragility is maybe the story of the season for this team, which always had an excuse to have things not go right, right? Like there was, it's a little too much on Scotty Barnes' plate early. The role for Fred. Oh, we don't have a big, now we have a big. And all these reasons why.
Refs.
Nick Nurse.
Injuries.
There was always something, right? There was always a reason, something to point to, something that's going wrong. Everything in this Raptors season ill-fated for whatever reason. Always an excuse to give it up, to let you down. And that's really the most disappointing thing, I think, because this team for so long was not the team that let you down. Even when, you know, you ran into LeBron the fourth, whatever time, and it was like, all right, this is kind of getting old. At least they'd play hard for you, generally. Like, there was only a couple times where you're like, wow, they kind of just mailed it in, eh? They kind of just saw the writing on the wall.
They used to be a scrappy, tough team to play against where you never counted them out, and we always jokingly said, and Alex Wong was the champion of this, never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Yeah, he stopped with those. He retired those tweets.
That is a long time ago, it feels like.
They would always punch above their weight. they would always give you something. They would always give you a reason, end of season, to cheer. And a guy like LeBron James would be like, wow. I mean, well, he's pandering a little bit. But look at this city. Look at the fan base. Look at the response to this team. They always, this team, gave you reason to feel good about what they had accomplished, even if they fell short, and they did many times. But this season was the complete opposite. They were the team this year that let you down. Every single chance they got, they would let you down. This was probably the most... This is the most disappointing season, I think, in Raptors history, at least in my conscious memory. And it's the fitting end to that because it was a massive air out of the balloon let down in the play-in game and something that I'm eager to turn the page on because that was just, that was not representative, at least in my eyes, of what this franchise had established for themselves and what they want to be. That was hopefully an outlier, but what it was, above anything, was a massive letdown.
The expectations for this team also continued to change all season long, which when you look back is a pretty sad state of fake optimism, maybe. Originally, hey, we want to be a playoff team. We want to make a push. We think we can be top six. Then it got to a point of, okay, you know, we're going to fight for one of those last spots in the playoffs. Then it got to, okay, play in for what? No, let's play in for something. We really think that that would be a great experience for our guys. Like, we're going to buy at the trade deadline and keep these guys together. Was it worth it? No. And then it comes down to, let's try to win this play-in game and see if we can win one more. And then we might, you know, go up against the Bucks and anything can happen. Think about how many different expectations that you either played for or thought of as a fan base or had this optimism for, to come down to that pretty embarrassing way to end your season. It's sad. It's hard to break through, break it down, but I want to start with the free throws because we got to play some of the DR clips, unfortunately, so get your ears ready. But I said it. The Sundance could stop at 18 for 36 free throws. The Bulls missed four. You can't, like, this is so bad. It is so, so bad. Let's play DR.
Let's hear the screams.
Lovely, lovely DR and her screams.
That is the daughter of DeMar DeRozan. And here's the voice you're hearing when Raptors shoot. She's screaming.
That time it didn't work.
It's actually, it was piercing. And through the broadcast, it happened the first couple times. I thought it was like a baby, like an infant. And I thought, that's so weird to bring an infant. Whatever, that's okay, it's a baby. But this is a 9-year-old, DeMar DeRozan's daughter, kind of changed her perspective a bit. And yeah, I know it's kind of tongue-in-cheek to say she helped force 18 missed free throws, and then we'll play some clips of some of the guys. They're like, oh, I didn't really hear it at all. But you raised a good point about sitting near her, if that was your big night out.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, like... I don't know. It's a little weird talking about DeMar DeRozan's daughter and the impact on the game. I don't really know.
I mean, it's a storyline.
It's definitely a storyline. We'll dance around it, whatever. But in terms of, like, what's objectively funny, if you thought, hey, this is my night. This is when I'm spending big. This is the night I'm sitting courtside.
Taking my loved one out.
Yeah, taking your big date, maybe. Like, a big spender really wants to impress.
Can I get you down on the court?
Yeah, or like, this is going to be a night, honey. And... behind you, DeMar DeRozan, 36-plus times. Maybe there was more screams and you just didn't hear them until everyone hushed.
No, it was 36 for sure.
But 36 for sure. She never missed a single free throw, at least it doesn't seem
like. Even when they were shooting on the other end of the court, she would scream from her end of the court.
So she was screaming the entire game.
She'd miss a beat.
If you were, yeah, you spent hard-earned big money on those seats. It's like having a kid behind you on an airplane and they kick in your seat a little bit. You got maybe one look behind you, maybe once at the mom or dad. That's the only thing you can do because that kid is doing what it wants when it wants. And the fact of the matter is, if you're a fan, you can do what you want when you want within, you know, within reason. And making any amount of noise is within reason. She was well within her right to make noise, and she was well within her right to try to throw Raptors free throw shooters off their game. And guess what? I don't know how much percentage it was. I don't know how much it helped. We'll never know. You can just fit your own bias or fit your own agenda into this assumption that we're all making. But 18 for 36 is 18 for 36. A 78% free throw shooting team, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Going down to 50%, missing two of three. Yeah, when you're missing, it gets into your head. But when there's screeching, when you're trying to do something that is very mechanical and everything else is quiet and you hear that, like, what happens when you're on a T block and there's a big noise? Does it throw you off even the slightest? And when a...
I use that excuse even when there isn't a noise.
I heard a bird. Yeah, something like, what was there, a honk over there? When the push pattern movement, where it's about concentration above anything else, yeah, I think it probably had a slight effect. Does it excuse anything?
No.
It does not excuse anything. Do you want to give credit to DR DeRozan? Maybe you want to, maybe you don't want to, but the fact of the matter is, a 9-year-old screeching should not impact an NBA game, and that just speaks to the fragility and the weakness and everything that we have criticized about this team, where they just come up with an excuse, whether it's through, you know, verbally, they give you an excuse, whether it's Nick Nurse or whomever, or it's tacitly, where they allow something like that to excuse poor performance. And not that they were coming out there and saying, yeah, like that was a thing or whatever, but it was part of the story and they failed at a very simple task within the game and it cost them the game. Pascal Siakam getting a gift of three free throws to tie the game, a game that you had already given away, one of three.
It's tough that that's the way that we're going to remember as well, as this game coming down to it at the final minute or two after blowing a 12-point lead in the fourth and a 19-point lead in the game. And Pascal's got three shots at the end. He misses two of them. We had this conversation previously in the playoffs when Pascal didn't have his moment, right? We all talked about it. Is Pascal the guy? Is Pascal clutch? Does he have that clutch gene, et cetera? He played a great game last night, and it's going to come down to seeing that clip. I think it just needs to get good context that he didn't, you know, he wasn't the reason the Raptors lost, but you look at it, they had the ball in your hands in the final minute to tie the game, and Fred misses an open three as well. Like, it comes down to little moments, but in the grand scheme of things, Pascal did play pretty well last night. It looks bad to have that moment and you crumble from it. We're all going to have conversations all off season. It's already started in the text line. Is Pascal a guy? Is he the superstar to lead your team through the rest of the year? Get rid of Fred. Fred's washed up. Like, it's time to really make some changes, and we'll talk about that. But it's a tough look for, you know, one of your superstars to miss some shots big, but that's the guy that said he wanted to be top five this year in the NBA. And, those are big moments that you miss.
Here's the thing, though. A flawed team exposes the individual. And that's exactly what happened. Like, what happened to the concept of team basketball? Like, what was the strategy for Nick Nurse and that offensive game plan yesterday? Like, Pascal had a good night. You can look at the box score and be like, oh, Pascal did his job, even though, you know, you missed those key free throws. But that's because the only thing that they seem to be doing offensively is Pascal early, get ourselves a lead in a low stakes moments. And if you want to criticize Pascal for, oh, you can't do it when it's most important, well, those low stakes moments, he piled up the points and gave the Raptors a chance to play in front the entire game. And then late game, what other than like Fred VanVleet heaving up threes was the game plan? Like, it was like, oh, you're trying to stop the bleeding. We got to hit a big shot. And it's, guess what happens? When you try to hit big shots over and over and over again, and you miss those shots, you let a team like the Chicago Bulls come back into the game. Like, I cannot get over the fact that they play such a brand of offensive basketball where it was so predictable. Like, if you're guarding Scotty Barnes for most of that game, like, you can just shut off on defensive possessions because it's just going to be Pascal Siakam, iso ball, one-on-one, taking a preferred matchup, or Fred VanVleet heaving up three-pointers. Like, it just puts no stress on the defense because they have no concept of team, rhythm, fluid, offensive basketball. Like, you can pick up moments, you can pick out DR, you can pick out the free throws. The fact of the matter is, they devolved into something that was far less than what it was before in the Nick Nurse era. It just seems like there was no creativity, no game planning. Yeah, they had a couple decent plays out of timeouts, but where is like any semblance of creative and effective half-court offense from this team? It doesn't exist. To me, it just doesn't exist. It's a team that came into the season with defense transition. That's how we're going to make up for our deficiencies offensively. How about, you know, over the course of 82 plus games, 83 in the end, that you develop something that works from an offensive perspective other than heaving up shots and saying, hey, Pascal, go get us a bucket. Everything about this team, very, very disappointing. But the fact that they seem to be worse than they were from an offensive perspective, from a defense perspective too, in terms of the sum of their parts in half court sets, it's just like you were never going anywhere. So why do I really care about the result? Yeah, it wasn't the fun narrative that, you know, wasn't DeMar DeRozan being all world. There was a near 40-point score in Zach LaVine. And it was kind of the worst way it could possibly play out, with it just like slipping away and eroding and being very, very disappointing. It was not a fun night, but this team was going nowhere. This team has hit a wall in many ways, emotionally, spiritually, but also in practice. The way that they play basketball, it is not good enough anymore. And we saw it play out last night. Everything about that game, performance, offensively, defensively, everything, disappointing. And it's a product of something that just doesn't work anymore.
I think that I knew, obviously we knew that going into last night's game. I think I was trying to sell myself a little bit of a narrative of the guys are going to play with some heart. They're back at home court. This is a
and
huge spot for them.
They were really good in the first half.
They sure were.
There was
that was
heart.
One
there
of their
effort.
Best first halves over the last couple months, right? Like they came out with something to prove. They looked good. They looked strong. Everybody was kind of contributing. And
defensively
then
locked
this
in.
This is it. The same thing happens where this team falls apart. Credit to LaVine and the Bulls, though, because you mentioned it. Like, he almost had 40. He had 7 points in the first half. He turns it on. There's no way to shut that down. Where are the adjustments? Like, this is, and you mentioned, what's different about this team? Where's the creativity? Well, this is what we've talked about all season long, is your roster construction is management, and you only have the puzzle pieces you have. But if you're Nick Nurse, you've had, what, 80, now that was your 83rd game, to try to find a way to make things work. And you didn't. And this is going to be the big offseason question once again. Was that the last game that we saw Nick Nurse coach in for Toronto Raptors? I think so.
I hope so.
I do too. And I think,
mean, the mix, as I the mix, and when I say, like, Raptors basketball, this isn't working. It's the mix. It's the coaching staff. It's the players gelling with the players gelling with themselves.
The player like this, construction, the
this
roster.
This ecosystem
exactly.
is not an effective one at current moment, and it's screaming that it's time for a change. Whether
screaming
it's
screaming like DeMar DeRozan.
Exactly. It could not, you hear it in the arena, you hear it through the television set. It is obvious that this isn't working. And the most blatant sort of example of that, like, Chicago doesn't have anything that's particularly confounding. It was essentially just two, maybe three players doing what they do individually in ISO. It was DeMar and Zach LaVine slashing. It was Vucevic taking advantage of a mismatch, unfortunately, with Jakob Poeltl. That's all that they had. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything that was particularly complex. They didn't have a Warriors team where you throw box and ones and you do all this, you scheme it up beautifully. No, all they were doing was really playing hard defensively early to trouble them. And once that there was a little crack in the armor, and guys like LaVine and DeMar DeRozan suddenly snapped to it and wanted it way more, it seemed, than the Toronto Raptors did. Like, they were just beating them through very rudimentary means. Like, it was not a puzzle. It was not a Rubik's Cube that they had to figure out. It was two teams who basically have, they don't have the repertoire. They were just going head-to-head with what they had. And last night, Chicago's very menial offensive performance was better than the Raptors. And I guess you could just put it down to free throws in the end, but it was two teams that are going nowhere fast. And the Raptors were just the butt end of the joke last night.
We do have some post game clips we can hear from the players and Nick Nurse themselves. I'm sure that over the next couple days, a lot of questions will be raised. Not sure we're going to get answers that quickly, but this is where the offseason begins. Where we're at with this team, we're going to have your calls at 7:30. What you need to see, what you need to hear, what moves you need to hopefully have made, because it cannot be a quiet offseason for this franchise. I want to play Nick Nurse on failing to make the playoffs. I mean, talked about how that would at least give some other guys experience. I mean, there was never really a hope that they would make a big splash in the first round. But here's Nurse talking post-game about their failure to make it any further in the season?
I mean, it's super disappointing. Listen, I think that, you know, there's been times, especially, you know, even early in the season when we were just kind of hovering over 500. I think we had a really difficult schedule to start, but we were,
we were
a bucket away from a bunch of a big knocking off the teams that finished at the top. All right. I can kind of clearly remember some of those. So some of that stuff probably catches up to us in the end. You know, having to play in the play-in, a few more wins here or there, maybe we can climb up and get there. But, you know, I've always said there's still a lot of guys that need playoff experience, because as you can see, it's different. Right, it's different. It's physical. It's pressure. It's a lot of high stakes and stuff. And you got to live through some of that to be able to get through some of it.
Well, you didn't get your playoff experience to live through it and get through some of it.
But even that,
try
like,
it out.
Was that an experience for Scotty Barnes? Like, I don't know. It just felt like, okay, if Pascal and Fred play well, they'll get us through. It wasn't like, hey, this is what we've been working on all season together. Starters, bench, us, our concept of team basketball. We're just going to throw that into a game and see what happens and have a learning experience. No, it was just like, get the ball to Fred or Pascal and that's it. Like it was so unambitious. It was so like short-sighted. And I'm not like, I can't draw up the perfect game plan for a basketball team. Like I can't, that's not within my that's not within my reality, but it seemed like even within that game, they devolved into something that would only hopefully get them through the 10th best team in the Eastern Conference. Like everything about what the Raptors season has been has felt short-sighted and limited, and you're making your own concessions, and they got what they deserved. That's I can't say it more than that. I will say though, knee-jerk reactions, bench unit, team, future, free agents. Gary Trent Jr., 1-for-7, 0 impact on the game. You're going to spend a lot of money.
I wouldn't even say zero impact. I'd say negative impact.
Negative impact on the game. You're gonna give him a contract extension this year. And I know like this, everything's kind of like confusing because it's like, oh, you give up Gary Trent Jr., you have no shooting. You had no shooting from Gary Trent Jr. last night. He didn't even have shots.
They went small at the end to get Gary Trent Jr. in there to hopefully find a way to get him to do something. And he did nothing.
That's why it's annoying, because it's like, okay, under a new coach or a different scheme or a different system or something that is at least a little bit more involved, would he be able to help you win a game? We don't even know. Like, what experience did Gary Trent Jr. get last night? He wasn't even involved in the game. And part of that is him, but part of that is what the game plan was. So I don't even know how to feel about the roster, because I feel like Nick Nurse and what they've tried to accomplish this year has been so limiting that we have more questions than answers. We have less information to work on. We're flying by the seat of our pants. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen this summer, but we know change has to happen. And I have no idea what all that is going to spit out on the other side and what we're going to see in 2023-24.
Your frustration is not unwarranted. We heard from Fred VanVleet post game as well, and I'm sure we'll hear it from the players moving forward about how taxing and how disappointing this season was, and at times frustrating. Here's Fred on the challenging season that is.
Well, we were 9 seed, we were 500, so what does that tell you? That means you won one, lost one, you know, you win two, lose two. Like, it's just the way it goes, and that's just kind of the way it went. There was a lot of different things going on, a lot of noise, a lot of, you know, different things coming from all different angles. I'm proud of the group for sticking together, and we didn't really have too much negativity inside the locker room, you know, as things can go sometimes. So we got a lot of guys, and overall, I think we just got to be able to learn from it. And there's a lot of young guys getting their first experience in their first couple of years and trying to break out and become who they want to be in this league. And I think you just got to take all of these lessons and learn from them and continue to get better.
We're going to talk to Katie Heindel at 7. She writes about basketball feelings often.
Big feelings morning.
We'll get those, and we'll get yours at 7:30, and we'll work through what needs to happen now. I know it's less than 24, not even 12 hours since last night's loss to end the season, but these feelings are not new. It's not shocking that we're in this spot. So if you've had them festering, you've had, you know, ideas, you have what needs to happen in the next couple months, let us know, 590-590, and also we'll give you the numbers to call at 7:30, but you can send that in on the text line as well. We can read some of those. We got some frustration to work through, and that's fair.
They need an upgrade next year to the OVO video board.
What would they add to that thing?
They got to add some, like, screaming and screeching in the, it's not a backswing, but the basketball version of a backswing. Little distraction addition. Something that give you real-time feedback on how you react to screaming while you're shooting the basketball from the free throw line. I think that might help things.
It's funny because DeRozan was asked post-game about his daughter and said it was asked if she was going to go to Friday's game against the Heat, and he's like, she's got to get back to school. Like, she was fired up about wanting to come to Toronto. Actually, we do have a clip too. DeRozan was asked about DR, and I guess obviously there's roots here in Toronto, but she was adamant about coming to last night's game, and clearly it paid off.
My daughter called me the other day when she was getting out of school. And she was just, you know, she just said, "Dad, can I come to the Toronto game?" I remember going to all the Toronto games when she was a kid, and I almost said no because she in school back home. She kept asking. She was just adamant about coming to support, and I just said, you can miss one day of school and, you know, come to a game, and I'm glad I did. I owe her some money for sure.
Is she coming, Fred?
Nah, she got to go back to school. Yeah.
It's a Friday night game.
We'll see. I think you got to call the school and explain the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let her take a incomplete. She's 9 years old. What grade is that?
Oof.
I think she'll be all right. She misses another game.
It's kind of a weird position to be in. Like, she's one of the main characters from last night's game. I think that would be a weird position for DeMar to be in. Like, it's not negative. It's not overly positive either, though. At least, certainly within this fan base. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't know. You don't want to be the story on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want your offspring to ever be the story on Twitter.
And it's odd because, as we mentioned, she's 9 years old. I'm not going to come on the radio and be like, unprofessional fan, kick her out.
No,
she's nine-year-old kid cheering her daddy on at a game.
Yeah, and she's completely and totally in her right to do that.
It
and
just guess is what? Hilarious.
If she had an effect on the game, good for her.
Franchise icon. Defeats your team in a play-in, him and his daughter, the storylines. I don't know what else you expected from this team. It's kind of a fitting way to say goodbye to the regular season, the play-in season, and to look forward to next year. We'll
and
take
now we
your
have
calls.
Kyle and DeMar.
Yeah, and that will be great.
A chance
we'll tee that
to go to
up.
The playoffs.
Those two going head-to-head on Friday. That'll be fun. See how that one goes. We'll tee that up tomorrow, but we'll take your calls at 7:30. Let's talk about something a bit more positive to wrap up. The top of the block here. Blue Jays win in extra innings. We mentioned it. The earliest dome opening in franchise history. Beautiful day in the city of Toronto yesterday. Like, it was jam-packed on the streets. Tried to take my dog for a walk, and you don't get 5 feet without people stumbling off of patios. Like, it was a spicy time in the city yesterday.
You're living the condo life. Was it a spicy time to just be someone dwelling?
Yes, let me tell you about that, because I got a message from the management of the building said, we are turning the heat off because they control when it's heat and when it's cold in a week and a half. I'm like, can we speed that up, please? Mm. It was hot. Like, obviously I don't have the heat on, but nonetheless, it is not cold. But yeah, it was the first day where you're like, all right, where's my summer clothes? I don't know if I have shorts anywhere.
There's a 2 week period when you're living in a condo that is just
this is it.
Nightmarish, and you've entered that 2 week period.
I will be waiting anxiously to get the cold air circulation running through the building, but we're coming. We saw our first rowdy fan moment where a Blue Jays fan was eye to eye with the Tigers reliever. I believe a beer can was thrown in. I believe that this is now what we had feared is coming to fruition.
There's a police officer right there with that guy hanging over the fence.
Ballsy move,
all right.
He's like, whatever, the dome's open. I've been crushing pints since 4 p.m. on a patio nearby. Anyway, the vibes were pretty fun that they had the dome open. It felt like a day in mid-July, and yet it was early April. We start the game with Vladdy getting his bobblehead day, his gold glove bobblehead day, and he He provided a gold glove level defense, defensive masterclass we've seen of Vladdy as of late. He deserves a lot of credit for how he's improved. This was a storyline early on in his career. It was like, he's not really, you know, he needs to round that out. He's not good enough at first base. And he showed that yesterday. They played some good small ball after a night where it was home run central to kick off the homestand. And last night, opposite. They found some ways to win with kind of more of a gritty performance. That's the Blue Jays right now. Another comeback win. That's six already. I'm starting to believe that the Blue Jays are a different team in terms of their belief level in each other. We hear this post game from every single interview. We hear this from the players when they talk on media day. We hear this from professionals and writers and our Sportsnet staff that are at the games. That this team just believes in themselves in a different sense. I don't know if it was the disappointing loss to last year's season where it all crumbled away in your hands, but they have this level of fortitude, the opposite of the Toronto Raptors, when things get tough. And six comeback wins, and a way that they win it in a completely different fashion. It's not a walk-off grand slam. It's getting two extra innings, grinding it out, a bunt. Like, these are things that this team is doing differently, and I'm believing in it, and I'm seeing something very different with this Blue Jays team to start, and winning in extra innings the way they did last night is a really nice, comfortable feeling. And I know it's the Tigers, but you got to win against the teams that you're playing.
Yeah, well, these things feed off each other, right? Like, if you can do more, you have the confidence. And if you have confidence, you can do more. And and I don't know if it's whatever, you know, chicken and the egg, whatever it is. But if you have more ways to win ball games, which it seems like the Blue Jays do, then you set yourself up to come back and to deliver in those clutch moments and to have that, not only have the belief in yourself, but use it to actually make it meaningful. And I just think, you know, last year maybe it was too dependent on the home run. And in a game where they don't provide those long balls, they're able to still come up with what they need because they just have more of that dynamic within their roster this year. But if it is going to be a small ball game, who better to have on the mound than Kevin Gausman, who gives you eight innings and does leave in a position to lose the ball game. But that's your guy in those games. 100%. If you're not hitting home runs, you want Kevin Gausman on the mound because he more often than not is going to keep it close. He more often than not is going to preserve your bullpen, and he more often than not is going to give you a chance to win a ball game when the bats aren't exactly popping. So another great performance from him, another example of the Blue Jays finding resolve, and another victory in what's been a very, very encouraging start to the season.
Gausman is just a pro. He's just a consistent guy that you have a level of comfortability, and I don't know if that changes the way that the team feels now on the mound, because it hasn't been a steady incline in terms of some of the other guys in the starting rotation, but Gausman has been a staple in that. That was 15 straight innings of zero ERA before the two home runs last night. That was a Blue Jays record. That's a pretty damn good way to start your season. And yeah, you say that he was in a position to lose. It's glad that he got the win because he's had some bad luck in previous with the BABIP and just not being able to have a moment where he's like, I won that game. He had 11 strikeouts yesterday, no walks. But yeah, the level of comfortability right now with him is Cy Young level conversation. We talked about this preseason. We've now talked about it every single time he's had a start. Just continue with some consistency. And then if the rest of the starting rotation can level out, you feel really good about that. So they're back in action tonight, the ending of their three-game series against the Tigers. That's 7 p.m. And on the mound, Chris Bassitt. So we're hoping to see him continue to build on his last performance. They'll have an opportunity for that tonight against Spencer Turnbull on the other side.
Yeah, we'll see how pitch to contact goes into, you know, I don't want to say it's playing like, you know, the easiest ballpark in the world to pick up runs, hit home runs, and be an offensive juggernaut. But a pitch-to-contact hitter might have some nightmares heading into Rogers Center, so we'll see how Chris Bassitt fares if he continues to move in the right direction. Very, very important, paramount even, that they get someone else that they can rely on here over and over and over again, because right now Gausman is the pitcher who stands alone in terms of guys who you can just not sweat when they're on the mound, when you can just be very, very confident that you're going to get a solid outing, a strong outing, a solid performance. We'd like to see a little bit more of that if this team is going to catch a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, who, guess what, are now 12-0.
Yeah, 12-0, and they are coming down to Rogers Center tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They'll be on their way. They start the series against these guys on the weekend. Yep, 12-0. Three-game series begins Friday. You don't have your strongest part of the rotation, but you got to find a way to win. That's what this team is doing right now. They're riding a level of confidence, and so you bet the Tampa Bay Rays are as well. So this will be an interesting weekend if the Blue Jays can at least get one win against the Rays, maybe Friday night, and build on some momentum that they'll be able to create. But the Rays are scary.
I was going to say, hopefully the Red Sox do the Jays a solid and, you know, take the O away from Tampa Bay so that's not hovering over things. Maybe you don't want to use up the rare loss that the Rays are actually going to have this season. Maybe we'll leave that to the Toronto Blue Jays.
We'll talk some more baseball at 8 o'clock with, what a guest that we have, Chris Russo, or Mad Dog.
The Mad Dog.
You know him as that. He's going to join us. Obviously, you can catch him weekdays. High Heat, 11 a.m. MLB Network. Network, Mad Dog Unleashed, weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. on Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. He's a spicy guy. He's going to have some takes. We're going to run through it all with him. Blue Jays and beyond. That's at 8 o'clock. We'll take your calls at 7:30. But tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs wrap up their regular season against the New York Rangers at MSG. Zero stakes for either team in this game, as it has been for a little while for the Maple Leafs. But specifically, both teams coming in tonight with probably the goal of don't get injured and have something tangible to create a little bit of positive vibe for when you kick off the postseason next week. So Leafs in action tonight. Don't know what the lineup's going to look like. Believe Samsonov might start. Do we see our fifth or fourth ATO probably?
Yeah, what the goaltending situation is. I'm not even going to venture a guess. I guess the one thing, though, that's real would be Mitch Marner's pursuit of 100 points. And one of our big theories all season long has been this team runs on the confidence of Mitch Marner. And how good would Mitch Marner feel scoring or hitting 100 points on the season in the last game after a couple load management games? I feel like that would be an important checkpoint for Mitch Marner to achieve for himself and for the team. So I think every Leaf fan should be pulling for that to happen because I don't think it means nothing. I think it's a pretty big deal to Mitch Marner, and I think anything that's a big deal to Mitch Marner is a big deal to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So we'll probably see him in the lineup, I would expect, just with that idea in general, but maybe not Matthews. Maybe Tavares gets a rest. We've seen Sheldon Keefe work through some load management over the last 2 weeks specifically. I assume Matthew Nyes will get his final opportunity in regular season play to continue building on what were two better games from one to two. Like, he made pretty significant jumps. What's he going to have now with a day off in between, a little bit of time to acclimate himself with the Maple Leafs lineup? Excited to see what they do with him tonight. As I said, no big stakes in terms of needing anything, but momentum starter. So,
and you're right, the New York Rangers are locked into the third seed in the Metropolitan, so they have absolutely nothing to play for, and we'll see what they offer as well.
So we'll have the phone lines open at 7:30, Raptors Therapy. That'll be 416-870-0590 or 888-666-0590 or *590 on your Rogers cell phone. So get thinking. You got your moment to talk about what you want to happen this offseason. Is there somebody untouchable or just burn it all down? Biggest points of disappointment. Maybe you want to be a positive spin. It's your biggest point of optimism because it can get easy to come on and day one right afterwards and find some big building blocks of negativity, but maybe you want to put a stop in that and find a little positivity. Good luck. Katie Heindel's going to join us at 7 as well to work through her basketball feelings, but we'll do the A-list on the other side of the break, including Phillies and their Loony Dogs night and how things can go terribly, terribly wrong.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
What's up, baby?
All right, we are coming up on the first Loony Dogs of the season here, the Toronto Blue Jays. It'll be the 25th of April. Not that I got that marked down.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the 25th Loony Dog Day in history.
I actually don't know how many there have been, but
I'm sure if you go through your, like, ticket stuff.
I don't think I've been to all of them, okay?
You'd be able to figure that out.
I've been to, like, four. But the Phillies started their season with their own dollar dogs. They don't call it loony dogs because they don't have loonies down there, but they have dollar dogs. They sold more than 58,000 in one game. So listen up, folks. We got to pick it up. 58,000. They have about two more on the schedule at this point. They might add more. I don't really know how they do their promotional schedules. But the biggest part of this was there was a massive food fight in the stands where people were ripping loony dogs at each other. Full-on food fight of loony dogs in the stands at this Phillies game. It's like if you slow down the videos, the cinematography of these hot dogs flying through the air with the ballpark lights, the nighttime game, there's like lights in the background, beautiful ballpark, and loony dogs soaring through the air at other fans. A full-on food fight happened, so much so that they had to have people ejected. Now, this is a statement from the Phillies. Quote, "There were several people who were ejected from our game last night as a result of their unruly behavior, a behavior which the Phillies do not condone. In addition, our staff took the appropriate action to assist any fans who voice complaints. Unfortunately, the small minority of people involved put our regular fan base in a negative light."
You ever been in a food fight?
No.
No,
I feel like those are just in cartoons.
I mean, yeah, it's a TV thing for sure. Like Disney Channel, yeah, there's a food fight in every.
You know that show Recess? They definitely had food fights.
Yeah, there's one any like children's show. There's a food fight episode. That's kind of my nightmare though. Like having a condiment on me, like hitting me. That's like my nightmare. Yeah. That's like the worst thing that could possibly happen to me. So I don't want to be involved. However, it'd probably be pretty entertaining to be witness to a food fight, or a more specifically a dollar dog fight
at a ballpark. Anyway,
not condone anything.
No,
not suggesting.
I'm just presenting this.
Eat those loony dogs.
The story.
So hard-earned money.
Go take a look. Type in Phillies on Twitter or dollar dogs, and you can watch this Oscar award-winning filming of dogs floating through the air.
Tell you what, if there was a food fight, you'd have a target on your back when you're wearing your dog suit down at the ballpark.
Yeah, that would be, it would be like 10 points if you hit her in the head.
Yeah, or they'd be like, oh, we need an official, and they'd take the person wearing the food, wearing the hot dog.
Like I'd be in the ring.
Yeah, you'd be, trying to stop things, of course.
So their dollar dogs night does not go well, but our loony dogs night coming on the cusp, let's be more professional about it. But we can take down 58K.
Let's show Philadelphia how to do a cheap dog night. Right.
Let's show them. All right. There's going to be some contracts possibly signed here in Toronto in the next little while. Maybe Vladdy, maybe Fred VanVleet.
Maybe Gary Trent Jr.
Well,
maybe we didn't talk about Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah.
Soundly outplayed last night. Just, you know.
Anyway, this is a positive story. So, plenty of ways to make yourself a fan favorite when you do such a thing, maybe a hometown discount, etc. Well, I don't know how familiar you are with Bram Van Polen.
Not in the slightest.
A PEC Zwolle.
Pardon me?
Soccer player.
Okay.
This is a Dutch team. Anyway, this guy's 37 years old. He's played for this team for the last 16 seasons. Earlier this week, they announced that he'll be returning for at least 1 year, and they've agreed to a contract extension.
Okay.
PEC Zwolle season ticket members will be a part of this contract extension because he requested that all of the supporters in his contract will get a beer in their first game. He said, this year I want to thank the supporters of PEC Zwolle for the unconditional support I have always felt in good times and in bad times. With a special coin every season ticket holder, sponsor, and volunteer receives, I want to give a round to the entire stadium on Friday.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I've never heard of something where you have a clause in your contract that everybody's getting a beer on Friday, thanks to me.
And in hindsight, how have we never heard anything like this before?
Here we go.
I'll just get a round for everyone. I appreciate the last 16 seasons, the support that I've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'd love to be in a position to do that one day.
I just think, here we go. Open the door for ways to reward your fans for a new contract, maybe take less money, but also give them all around at the home opener.
I mean, that's how you leave a club as a legend. It's just one beer. But it's a considerable gesture.
Bram Van Polen, maybe your favorite soccer player of all time.
I love it.
All right, well, we don't have to talk contracts yet, but the way that last night's game and the season ended, there are some questions about what happens in the offseason. We'll take your calls at 7:30, Raptors therapy session, or maybe an optimism session if you're feeling that way this morning on a baby Friday.
I don't think you
all
should give
them that. All power to you.
No.
We'll see. It probably won't go that way, but I don't want to encourage the anger this morning. Maybe we talk through it. We're going to talk to Katie Heindel first at 7, basketball feelings queen. Maybe she's got a way to spin this in any sort of positive light. But nonetheless, we'll talk about DeMar and his daughter and the way that game was a microcosm of the Raptors season. That's it for the Toronto Raptors, but lots of questions remain. Katie Heindel on the other side of the break on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.